And greetings from Myerstown. It is good to be with you all this morning and to worship with you and to fellowship with you guys as well. This morning's message is on a topic that I would argue is the core, is the keystone, it's the cornerstone of societies, of churches, ultimately of families as well. And that cornerstone, I would argue, is men, specifically fathers. And most likely, in those less than 30 seconds, I've already lost half of you. And I've been there. I've heard sermons like this before, and I've tuned them out. I would argue, though, that this is not a message just for men. It's not a message just for fathers, because this message is ultimately about our Heavenly Father. We all have a Heavenly Father. He calls Himself Father. And if you're here, and if you have repented, and if you have called upon His name, then you are His chosen adopted child. And you have a Heavenly Father, and this message is about Him. As fathers, as men, we are attempting to be a reflection of our Heavenly Father. And so as I lay out here the role of a father, it's ultimately how we as fathers can more clearly reflect Jesus Christ as our Heavenly Father. And so this sermon this morning is about Him. It's about Him and His desire for relationship with each one of you. It's His desire for His children as us. We are His sheep. He calls us that. He is the Good Shepherd. He calls Himself that. These are words that He has used. And that sheep and shepherd analogy is one that's often used throughout Scripture. Yes, it's because of that timeline where a lot of people were shepherds and that way of life. But also it's because that shepherd-sheep analogy works for Christ and the church. It works for God and His children. And it's also the analogy that God uses for earthly fathers and their children. So what is a father? Is it simply the male parent of a child? My daughter is currently 3.5. When she was around 2, she had a very, very simplified definition of mom and dad. She said, "Mom cleans things and dad fixes things." In her world, that took care of everything. All right. If she made a mess, it was mom who cleaned it up. If she broke something, it was dad who fixed it. And so that's what a dad was to her. Okay? He just fixes things. And a father has many roles. Okay? A father is a mechanic. Okay? If there's something, if there's a flat tire, no one runs to mom, they run to dad. "Hey, dad, take care of that." Okay. Dad's a carpenter. Okay? I've spent many hours with my dad building things. I say this in jest, but I tell my wife that I've been making Pinterest dreams come true since 2018. That's when we were married. You know, that's just what we do, right? Dads are handyman. When the toilet's clogged, no one runs to mom. It's always dad, right? That's one of the rules we have. A sports coach. My dad invested hours into my life, hitting balls to me, playing balls with me, playing basketball. Okay? Driver's ed. Maybe that's one that we don't look forward to, but that's there. Or maybe it's one that could be one of the least favorite of my roles, and that's the role of a medic. Okay. Yeah, when there's a bruise, you often run to mom, but that's a role that I don't look forward to fulfilling. But you see, society has different roles for a father as well. And so we know that there are good fathers, and there are some that are not so good. But what standards are we using to draw those lines? How are we rating fathers per se? The title of the sermon this morning is "The Art of Shepherding." The art of shepherding. The role of a shepherd in Bible times was not a desired role. It was the role that was reserved for the youngest in the family. Where was David when Samuel came to the family? Oh, he's out in the fields. All right. He wasn't even worthy to be at the meeting. He was just out there. Okay. If you were a shepherd in those times, you were not a well-respected individual. That's the role. And I think that mentality unfortunately continues a little bit today as we see the lack of good fathers, godly fathers. And the disownment of children, the abandonment of children, it is alarming. And I would say that we, and by we I mean families and churches, need good shepherds in the home. We need fathers. And here's why. Strong families form strong churches. And strong churches are able to live out the commission that God gave to the churches to seek and to save the lost. But it comes back to the families. And if it comes back to the families, it comes back to fathers. And so this morning, I want us to see Jesus as the good shepherd. As we lead, as we guard, as we provide for our families and the sheep in our care. For our text this morning, I have two. The first one is Psalm 23. I would like you to recite Psalm 23 with me as part of our text this morning. So Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A lot of the points this morning will be taken from Psalm 23, but I also want to read John 10. So turn with me to John 10. This is Jesus talking of himself. Okay, this is the Good Shepherd passage. This is Jesus talking of himself, of who he is, and it's a contrast between the Good Shepherd and the not-so-good shepherds. So with me in John 10, I want to read the first 15 verses. Jesus is speaking here. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood him not the things which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." The first point this morning is the aspect of leading, and probably the most recognizable aspect of a shepherd. When I picture a shepherd in the Middle Eastern time, I picture this man with his long staff. He's in front of his sheep. He's walking, and the sheep are maybe single file or kind of meandering behind him. Like, that's my view of a shepherd. It's that leading aspect. Okay, sheep are, they wander off. They're completely dependent on their shepherd for everything. It's said that if a sheep turns on its back, it can't right itself. It needs a shepherd to turn it over, get it back on its feet. Sheep are very dependent. And sheep are led. They're not herded. A tour guide in Israel was explaining the fine art of shepherding to a group of Western tourists, and how a shepherd, he leads his sheep, he never hits his sheep, and you know, all these things. And all of a sudden, as they were on the bus, a flock of sheep ran past. They were running, and behind them comes a man. He has a stick. He's hitting the sheep. He's yelling at them. He's throwing stones at them. He has a dog, and he's telling the dog to bite the sheep. And obviously, the tourists are no longer paying any attention to what this man is trying to tell them. And the tour guide is very frustrated, so he jumps off the bus and he runs after the man and says, "What are you doing? Here I am trying to tell these, you know, ignorant Westerners about the fine art of shepherding, and what, you're ruining it." The man looks at him all bewildered and he said, "I'm not a shepherd. I'm a butcher." You see, a shepherd and a butcher deal with sheep very, very differently. They do. And why is that? The end goal is different. For a butcher, the end goal is meat hanging in the freezer, and that's food. That's money. That's the point. A shepherd, his end goal is different. He's the lone provider of those sheep. Without him, those sheep would die, and that is not good for him. He needs What the sheep give him? Offspring, wool, etc. The outcome is different. What is the end goal for the good shepherd, Jesus Christ? In John 14, verse 2 and 3, Jesus says, "In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." The end goal of the good shepherd is to lead you as sheep to be reunited with him one day in heaven. That's the end goal. What's the devil's end goal? The butcher. Kill, steal, and destroy. That's his end goal. You see, a butcher and a shepherd relate with sheep on a very different level. So as fathers in our homes, as shepherds of our home, what's our end goal? I believe it's more than just simply keeping our children alive. It's more than just simply making sure they get up in the morning and have food in front of them and clothes on their back. It's to lead them in paths of righteousness, as Psalm 23 says. And it's to lead them to the good shepherd. There's going to be a point where our children are no longer our sheep. They're the sheep of the good shepherd. They're Jesus' sheep. And so we lead them to that point. And that's the point. That's the end goal that we have as fathers. So how do we lead them? How do shepherds lead sheep? There's a few points here that I want to bring out. One is they lead from the front. Okay, a shepherd leads his sheep in front. A butcher chases the sheep from behind. There's that difference. And I want you to see that this morning. A shepherd leads from the front. And the way that we can herd or chase our children, I think, is that demanding, well, you do this because I said so. And because I'm the dad, you're going to do this. I think that's how we chase our sheep. And we do that way. Raising our voices, yelling at them, threatening them with threats that we have no intention of upholding. We are chasing our sheep. We also, fathers, we lead by example. And our actions guide our children maybe more, if not equally as much, as our own words do. So we lead by example. And so I feel that as fathers, we should go to echo Paul where he says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Your children should be able to do that. They should be able to look to you as a good example. And the old adage says that more is caught than is taught. And it's true. Children are going to pick up more on what you're doing and how you live your life than what you are saying to them and trying to instill in them. We also lead by caring. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Your children need to know that they are cared for. They need to feel that care. They need to sense that in a very real way. And once they know that, you'll be able to lead them a lot better. Jesus talks about in John 10 the aspect of a shepherd calling his sheep. Okay, the sheep know him. And so I think as fathers, as shepherds in our homes, we lead by knowing our sheep. Do you know your sheep? Do your sheep know you? When you call them, they know. And so the principle here is, I think, that as fathers we're called to know our sheep. Our sheep need to know us as well. Okay, there's that knowing. And this does not come about by casualty, it has to be very intentional. It's an intentional spending of time. And relationships are not built by chance, they're built with time. To spend time to know your sheep. And so, fathers, do we know our sheep? And do our sheep know us? So where are we leading them to? I said that the end goal is to lead them to Jesus Christ, but where are we leading them to? To look at the shepherds of Jesus' time, you have to understand also a little bit of Psalm 23, where it says, the shepherd leads to green pastures and still waters. When I think of green pastures and I think of Jesus leading me to that, I picture a nice Lancashire County green pasture, full lush grass, maybe a little brook going through there, and a shepherd leading me to the gate, and he opens the gate and says, "You know, there's your green pastures." Like, that's what I view as green pastures. When Jesus was talking to these people, when he was describing that, or when the psalmist wrote that was David. He knew about green pastures. That was not the green pasture that they had. You see, rain in that area was very scarce, and it came at very irregular times. And so grass would grow beside rocks where rain would collect, where dew would collect, where the shade would shield the grass, and your little spouts of grass would pop up. And so if you look up at a mountainside, it would look very barren from a distance. But there'd be little patches of grass. And those were the green pastures that Psalm 23 was talking about. And the shepherd knew where they were. They would lead the sheep to them. And obviously you can't keep feeding on that every single day. Go to a new place. So there's a constant leading the sheep to the green pastures. And so I think that as fathers, to relate this to us, there's this avenue that we know where the green pastures are. Or we should. Or we need to lead our children there. And I want to draw a distinction between green pastures and the opposite, which would be weeds, thistles, thorns, and stubble. The green grass is, it's nourishing. Your children will eat there and they will feel filled. Versus the weeds and the stubble will lead them wanting more. The green grass is easily chewed. It's good. It tastes good. It's good for the sheep. Versus the weeds and the stubble, it's hard. It may be thistles or thorns. So where are we leading them to? We're leading them to green pastures. Are we leading them to the fillers? So what is the green pastures? I would say, in our sense, it's the Word of God, ultimately. Those are the green pastures. It's the Word of God. It's what's nourishing. It's lasting. It's powerful. It's active. It's alive. And we can feed that to our children. Some more green pastures. What music are they listening to? Are we giving them green pastures in that regard? What are they watching? What other reading materials do they have? Lead them. You've been there. They need to see those green pastures. The other side, the weeds and the stubble. If we don't provide the green pastures for our children, they're going to look elsewhere. And the world is all too ready to give them whatever they will possibly intake. So we need to be intentional about giving them green pastures to eat. The still waters. Sheep will not drink from a rushing river. They won't. They need the still waters. And I think the still waters, fathers, that you provide for your children starts at home. Our home should be a place of security, a place of rest, a place where our children feel comfortable, confident, where they're secure. They know that this is our home. There's peace there. There's times where if you walk into our house, it does not look like a peaceful place per se. It looks like a tornado went through. Okay, we have children, and there is that aspect of it. But it's the whole, as a whole, is your home a safe place for your children? Is there a peace there? Our children are created with thirst. A thirst for love. A thirst for attention. A thirst for belonging. For affirmation. And search for encouragement. Our children are thirsty. Fathers, if you don't feel that thirst, they're going to look somewhere else. And the world is going to be more than happy to give them whatever they want. Fathers, you have what your children need. We need to give that to them. Psalm 23 talks about the rod and the staff. It's the two instruments that a shepherd utilizes from a day-to-day basis. The rod was more of a short club. The rod was used to prod the sheep. Hey, get going. It was used to correct the sheep. If it went off the way, hey, we're going this way. Okay, there's a correcting there. It was a defending of the sheep. We know David killed a lion and a bear. Maybe he used his sling, but maybe there was his rod. Okay, more of a club. Definitely more of a firm instrument. Then there's the staff, that other side, where that's the traditional longer stick that we think of seeing with the hooked end on. Used for guiding, for directing. More of a gentler aspect. Maybe more of a rescuing. And so when it comes to discipline, there's a host of places in the Bible where you could go. Verses like Proverbs 13:24, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. And there's many others. Okay, and I'm sure you know them. But there's an interesting phrase in Psalm 23, at the end, where in verse 4, where it says, you know, thy rod and thy staff, they what? They comfort me. That's not a term that I often associate with the rod and the staff. Especially not a little boy, for sure. Okay, those are not comforting instruments, typically, as a child. And it's a very unique word choice, I think. And I think you could also use words, the same Hebrew word to be translated, guidance, correction, pursuing. But the Hebrew word here is nahim. And it's idea of comfort and repentance. Okay, so it's both of those. So it's not just simply a correction and then the child resentfully goes along with whatever was said. Okay, there's a correction and there's also a repentance. It's those two things in one. And so I think there's an aspect of discipline being, yeah, it's a comfort. It's safety. It provides structure for the children that they need. It's a love and it's a care. And so that rod and a staff, they comfort me. Fathers, in your own life, there's times when the good shepherd's going to use a rod to correct you. What's your response? Is it a resentfulness? Is it a bitterness to God and his use? Or is it, hey, I needed that. Now we're going to go the other way. We're going to use that. We're going to repent. Okay? Again, we lead by example. Before I move on here to the other aspects, I want to point out, fathers, that in order to be good shepherds in our home, we first of all need to be led. Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. Fathers, you need to claim him as your shepherd. Yes, in the home, you are a shepherd to your children, but ultimately, you're also a sheep of the good shepherd. And so everything that we're talking about leading, and that, yeah, we want our children to be led by us. Yes, children, you should do that. Fathers, are you being led by the good shepherd? Are you allowing him to lead you? Are you allowing his rod and staff to comfort you? Are you allowing him to lead you to the green pastures and the still waters? The second point this morning, guarding. So aside from leading, the shepherds were the sole guardian of the sheep. They're out there on the mountains. They are the only ones who are taking care of those sheep. The mountains were not necessarily a safe place. Okay, there's drop-offs, there's cliffs that a sheep could die if it fell off of. There's poisonous plants that a sheep could eat and therefore get really sick. There's wild animals. In John 10, Jesus talks about two aspects of guarding the sheep. He says he is the door and that he protects from outside forces. And so the aspect of a door, I think, is really key in this point, because the door is what comes in. Okay, Jesus says, I'm the door of the sheepfold. Okay, if you're going to get into the sheep, you're going to come through the door, or you're going to climb over the wall. And fathers, we are the door to our sheepfold, our homes. If anything comes in, it comes in through you. Anything else is going to climb in over the walls. It's going to try to climb in some other way. Fathers, you are the filter for your home. If it comes into the house, it comes in through you. We are the door. And so, what comes in? The toys they play with, the music they listen to, the books they read, the friends they associate with. Fathers, you are the filter. You are the door that allows that in. And we are responsible for that. And I think we understand that our homes have a target on them. I said that in the beginning, strong homes, strong families create and form strong churches. That's not just something that we know. Satan knows that too. And so he knows if he wants a church to fall, he attacks the families. If the families fall, the churches fall. Satan knows that. And he's coming after our children, after our homes. And so fathers, just like a shepherd would build walls around his sheepfold, we need to build walls. Walls need to be intentionally built. They need to be intentionally maintained as well. Some are going to attempt to climb over. They're going to come in through the home, through the devices we have, through the avenue of the mind of our children, placing doubts and fears there. The devil wants a foothold in the lives of our children. In John 10, again, near the end of the passage I read, Jesus contrasts the hireling and the good shepherd. And he says, the shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. When the shepherd's out on the mountainside and a wild animal comes, the shepherd steps up and says, uh-uh, not happening. The hireling sees the wolf lurking and he runs. He's like, I'm out of here. I don't get paid enough for this job the way it is. These are not my sheep. I'm out of here. I'll find another job. And he runs. And the sheep are perfect bait for the wild animal. And so, shepherds, we need to face the issues, the temptations, the attacks head on. We need to have that audacity to say, not on my watch. If it's going to come and get my children, it comes through me first. Fathers, we need to have that. It's the initiative. These are our sheep. We're not allowed to run. We cannot run. We cannot afford to do that. So, fathers, we need to step up and be shepherds. I would say that guarding sheep in our homes requires three things. First of all, is vigilance. It needs a sharp eye. Okay, you're not going to guard your sheep with vigilance by being disconnected and disengaged. You need a sharp eye. It means being intentional. It means being invested. Second, diligence. We're not going to guard our sheep by chance. We're not going to guard our sheep by, you know, little small encounters. We need to be diligent. And also there's foresight. We cannot afford to play catch up in the lives of our children, going around putting out the little fires that come up. We need foresight. And so, fathers, the reality is that you can be vigilant. You can be diligent. You can have all the foresight in the world, and yet it's still not enough. Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord watch the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. You can do all the right things, but if the Lord's not watching your house, if the Lord's not watching your city, it's all in vain. We need to pray for protection for our children and for our own lives. Ask God to give us foresight, discretion, to keep our children together. The last point then is the providing aspect of a shepherd. And the physical providing is obviously the point that gets the most attention. You know, our children, they need clothes, they need food, X, Y, Z. We understand that. And so there's this aspect. And so many times we unfortunately get our needs and our wants mixed up. And it provides us a avenue to become workaholics and to be essentially away from our family more than with them. I think the sad reality here is that as we do that, fathers, as that tendency is there, we end up sacrificing the very ones we're seeking to provide for. The very ones that we want to provide for and we seek to provide for end up suffering because we're never there. The shepherd of Jesus' time supplied the food, the water for his sheep. He led them there. He sheared their wool. He healed their wounds. He probably aided in their birth. Whatever they needed, the shepherd was there physically for his sheep. And fathers, your role is very much the same, but our children need so much more than just simply food in front of them and clothes on their back and education. There's more to it than that. There's a spiritual providing. It's a spiritual food. And I talk about that in the green grass. It's leading them to the green grass, leading them to the Word, helping them see the spiritual ways and to walk them through that. But there's also a third way that we provide for our children. This way gets overlooked too often. And that's the emotional needs of our children. I talked about the fact that our children are thirsty. Thirsty for attention, for love. And they're going to find that some other way. Mental Health America is a national organization, and they give their own list of needs that a child needs. I'm going to read them off to you. Unconditional love from family, self-confidence and a high self-esteem, the opportunity to play with other children, encouraging teachers and supportive caretakers, safe and secure surroundings, and appropriate guidance and discipline. I thought that was an interesting list from a secular source. But it goes to prove that our providing, fathers, shepherds, is way more than a paycheck every other week. It's much more than that. And the devil wants us to think that when we come home, our job's done. Okay, I feel this tendency. You come home, you're tired, you prop your feet up, and you say, well, the wife can take care of the issues. I worked my 10 hours today. That was my job to do. Let her take care of the issues that come up. It happens. Okay, you know that classic dad with the newspaper in front of his nose all night long? Maybe it's our phones now. Whatever it is, I feel that. And you feel like you just disengage from the fight. You lay down your sword and say, I'm done. Our families need us. I don't have time, but I would love for you to read Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34 is God's view of shepherding. Fathers, read it this afternoon if you get a chance. It's God's view of the leaders of Israel, their lack of shepherding, and also God's view for shepherds, of his shepherding. Fantastic. Fathers, shepherds, the task in front of us seems, may I say, impossible. It seems daunting. It seems like it's a mountain too high to climb. And the example that's laid out by Jesus Christ in John 10 and Psalm 23, it's a high calling. It's a The good shepherd, he leads his sheep to green pastures, to the still waters, to the paths of righteousness. And even in the valley of the shadow of death, he's right there. He's leading. He provides them. The good shepherd guards his sheep. He's a door. He's a filter. He's a protector. The good shepherd provides for his sheep. And speaking of all the material things that we need in Matthew 6, Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all the rest will be added unto you." Jesus takes care of them. The good shepherd provides for them. The reality is this morning that as shepherds, no amount of trying, no amount of self-determination, no amount of desire to be the good shepherd that God's calling to be will ever be enough. It won't be. You see, if you would add up all your good works, all your righteousness, and somehow quantify it and hold it somewhere, God views that in Isaiah as filthy rags. It's nothing. No matter what you think you're a good father, how you think you've done, it is nothing. We are destined for failure. God knows this. He never intended us, he never intended you to create the good shepherd in you by yourself. That's not the way God operates. That's not the way his plan is. Paul writes in Galatians 2, verse 20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live in the flesh by faith of the Son of God who lived in me and gave his life for me." Without Christ in you, you will fail. You will. That's the reality of it is. And God knows this. And so he gave us Jesus Christ to live inside of you, to help you reflect himself. The reality is that everything that God's calling you to do as a husband, as a father, as a man and a woman and a child, he has provided it to you through Jesus Christ. God never intended for you to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and to produce the things he's calling you to do in yourself. So to wrap it all up this morning, Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I hope this morning that you saw the good shepherd. Hopefully that you saw him clearly. And hopefully as you are a sheep of the good shepherd, you are not wanting. You are content in his care. As he leads you, as he guards you, as he protects for you and provides for you. Fathers, we are called to be shepherds of our sheep, of our children. So like Christ, fathers, we lead by example. We lead by caring and by knowing our sheep. We lead them to grass, green grass, and to still waters. We lead them to the paths of righteousness. We guard our children. We use the rod and the staff when necessary to comfort them, to correct them, to guide them. We build walls. We maintain walls. We exercise vigilance, diligence, and foresight. Yes, we provide the physical means to life that they need, but we also provide the spiritual means. We provide the emotional needs. But praise God, we don't do this on our own. "Yet not I, but Christ in me." And so, fathers, as we go from here, I'm going to leave you with three things. Three words that start with the letter P. So as you go from here, I want you to go patiently. Patient with yourself. Patient with your children. I want you to go purposefully. Good shepherding does not happen by chance. Good shepherding happens by intentionality. And three, we go prayerfully. Pray for yourself. Pray for your children. Pray for your brothers around you. We go prayerfully. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for being our Heavenly Father. Perfect in every way. And yet, thank you also for Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, who so patiently and lovingly leads us, who fearfully guards us and protects us, and who ever abundantly provides for us everything we need in Christ Jesus. And Lord, as we look at your word, we look at Jesus Christ, and we see the example that you've left us, as fathers, we see you feel so insignificant and so incapable of the calling that you have placed upon our lives. But Father, we recognize and we are thankful for the fact that we don't have to do it by our own. You never designed us to. You gave us Jesus Christ, who lives in us and allows us to fulfill what you're calling us to do. So, Father, as we go from here, may we go patiently, purposefully, and prayerfully. For your honor and for your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.